You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, we're getting a lot of winds out where we are. I lost some tiles, or should I say shingles, and they went flying everywhere. So I had to get some guys out there. I mean, I could do it myself. It's the sort of thing I can do. I could physically do this, but I can't handle heights. I just can't. I don't know what it is. It's something to do with my brain. Something goes wonky, and when I get up in a high place, it all starts going like this. I don't know why. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is for me. I don't know about you guys. When I was a young guy, was that Mike? Yeah. Yeah, well, it does that, I'll tell you. But, of course, it costs me money because I've got to get someone else to do it. But the thing is, when I was a young kid, my mom, she was so worried about me because whenever we'd go somewhere as a young kid, I would go straight towards a flagpole and up to the very top. Yeah. And I can remember one time, so I don't know whether that was, I guess the psychologist would say, oh, that's just you trying to get over this thing you've got, you know, about heights. You're trying to get over it, you know. Well, whatever the reason is. I can remember one time I was at my grandma's place and my mom was visiting and I was with her and I went outside and there happened to be a ladder against the house. So I went up the ladder, I got to the edge of the house and then I went right to the pinnacle of the roof, which was pretty high, and I got right up there. And finally my mom recognized, where's Wayne? Where's Wayne? And she came outside. Oh man, she nearly had kittens right there. I mean, she saw me up the top, and so my grandma came out with this packet of what we call biscuits, you'd call cookies, and Wayne, look what I got for you. And I looked down there, oh, okay. And so I came down, and I think I got strong-armed when I got down there, but yeah, that was me, always into these places. There was one other thing I can remember doing. Where we used to live in a place called Kumu in Auckland, there was this row of trees. They're called microcarpa trees. And so I got right up the top of those trees. And on my way up there, there was a parrot. And it was completely camouflaged. I mean, you'd never see it. You would never see this thing. To this day, I'm not sure. I don't know what that bird's name was, what it was, but it was a big green, brown, gray parrot was in there with this hooked beak, and it was big. I mean, it was a big thing. So I got to see that and I quickly came down because I thought it might be after me or something. But that was what I used to do. Heights. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this day, Lord, and for all the great things that you have made for us in this life. We ask that you'd bless us and open the scriptures to us, and as we read, we'd understand, Lord, and we could apply these eternal truths to our lives and help others see the wonderful gift of eternal life. And we pray, Lord, for the leaders, that we'd see more great leaders come forward, and then finally the population see the righteousness of and need to be careful to select the right people to govern. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so law and grace, that's where we're up to. And so what I want to do is I want to go through just a few things. We're looking at the fact that the law was good and it had all sorts of great things about it, but it was given to Israel. And as an administration, it was void. That is, the administration of the law has become void because it was replaced with something better. If there was a law given which could have brought life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. It would have. But something better was put in place, and its ministration then became void, and it was labeled dead. We read so many passages by Paul writing to us in this age, talking about righteous standards, teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, for example. how we to do that. That's righteous standards that are given to us. And if you read from Ephesians 4 to 6, that's chapters 4 through 6, you'll see command after command given to us in this age that we could indeed find this kind of righteous living. So I want to talk a bit more about understanding this. Now here is a passage I've shown you before, which comes from John 1, for Hanomos, the law, was given by Moses, Mosios. Grace, charis. You know, you've seen words like charismatic, okay? It comes from charis, grace. Grace and truth through Jesus came through Jesus Christ. See, that there is the came. Eginator, came through Jesus Christ. The law. Well, you'll notice it doesn't partition the law up into three categories. It just gives law. Now, when we read through the law of Moses, we can't help but put sort of categories on the different parts of the law. But God doesn't do it. That's one thing that I've noticed as I've been reading through the scriptures. God does not do that. Why? Well, we better take notice of what God does, and let's not put our own ideas into it. Let's accept that the law came through Moses. Right? That's what the scriptures say. And it doesn't say one part came through Moses. It says the law. And then you've got this grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there's something very distinctive about this. I want you to see something about the words given. It says, came by Jesus Christ. Christ. What is Christ? Christ is Messiah, the anointed one. There is something about Christ which is very insignificant about this idea of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Truth, which is given in typical form in the law, but the law couldn't give it all. It couldn't give the fulfillment. That fulfillment had to come through Messiah. Messiah, Christ. Okay. Already we're starting to see something here going on. Now, when you go into the book of Acts, one of the great epistles written during the Acts is this one to the Galatians, because he talks about the law here. We quoted before, the schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. Okay. Now, look what it says here. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill, this is anapleroseta, you can see this verb here, which has to do with fulfilling. And so fulfill, look at this, the law of Christ. Ton nomon tu Christu. There it is, the Christ, the Messiah, the law of Messiah. The law came by Moses, no categorization, just the law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ, the law of Messiah. There is a distinction being made here. Okay, carrying on. Look at this. We've seen this passage. So I'm going to get heavy on right division now. It's now time to really put the pedal to the metal. Whoso therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is going along with the law of Moses and is saying, yes, you need to teach these things. But he also says there are weightier matters of the law. There are weightier matters. And it's not that you shouldn't perform the law, but you better look at the weightier matters, you scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy and faith. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Law of Moses, but also the deeper things, the weightier matters he's emphasizing, matters to do with the heart. Look at this one. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all. Now, what happened in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 23? In that context, the testator was alive. He was alive. And therefore, the law of Moses was in force. Right? Look what it says. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity must happen, be the death of the testament. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. But wait a minute. When we're reading in Matthew 5 and 23, Jesus is alive. The testator is alive. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Yes, so the testament has to come after the death of the testator. There's the blood, the Lamb of God. All right, cool. We understand this. And here's a picture. It's full of material. It's full of teaching here. Full. Too much that I can't go through everything. So I'm going to summarize this really quickly. Priesthood was changed. Therefore, if you read this in Hebrews 7:12, there must of necessity be a change in the law. A change in the law. God does things legally. Legally. If you come down here and you look at Genesis 14:18-19, it talks here about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, peace, right? Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace, Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Brought forth bread and wine. There must of necessity be the death of the testator for a priesthood to change. What was the meal? This is my body. It's bread broken for you. This cup, the blood of the new covenant. Right? Bread and wine? You think this is mentioned just off the cuff? You know? Isn't this... The Bible is absolutely fascinating, isn't it? And he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, look what he says. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God." Okay, that's the Most High God. Abraham recognized the Most High God. And he gives further detail. That is Melchizedek. He gives further detail. Possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. Now, isn't it interesting that there is a heavenly hope for the overcomers who have a hope as a part of Israel? Yes, there is. The New Jerusalem that comes down and lands on the earth. But it's also true that we have a heavenly hope, not a part of the New Jerusalem, but in the highest heaven. We also have that. Isn't it interesting here? It says, Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, I just noticed that. So what was the purpose of the law? Well, you can read it through. First of all, the purpose of the law was certainly to give lawful commands that people could understand their need of the Savior and righteous standards and all these things. Look what it says down here. It gives laws concerning, you know, in Leviticus 11, you know, concerning what things were clean or unclean. You know, parteth the hoof, cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud. That's good to eat. Camel, gonzo. Swine, piggy, out. Hare, out.
You eat the rabbit?
Yummy. Why not? I'm sure you like pig. Right? Fins and scales. Rock and roll, man. Fins and scales is good. Octopus? That's a no-no, man. That's out. But, you know, have you had octopus? When I went to Barcelona, it's right on the coast there of Spain, and we went to one of these restaurants, which was one of these old-style restaurants that has some sort of massive history in Barcelona. And you get this menu which has things in there that goes a long way back. I mean, and its history comes from all kinds of different people that have come into Spain over the years. And one of them on the menu there was octopus. So I grabbed it. Yeah, okay, I'll try that. And in came this plate. It's about this long. And it had this one leg of the octopus. You know, that thing was delicious. Man, that thing was really nice to eat. Now, of course, it's no surprise to me it's nice to eat, because my grandma used to be she was absolutely a fantastic cook. This is my grandma on my dad's side. She could cook. Man, things that she could eat and cook. And we used to enjoy a lot of that kind of food when we went to her place. But anyway, those things are out. Gonzo, man, under the law. So what was the purpose of that then? We just read through, didn't we, in Matthew, where Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that offends, it's what comes out of the mouth. Coming out of the heart. That's what offends, right? So what's this all about? Well, this is all about making sure that Israel was different and separate from all other nations. That's it. Do not come to these dietary laws and think, well, that's a good food to eat and the other one's not a good food to eat. No, that's not what the law is about. This is all about separating Israel off. Look at this thing. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from heart. This is the thing that the Lord Jesus is about. He's all about bringing people to this acknowledgement, the nation of Israel. He's not going to strong arm this people and say, you're coming with me, man. Now, he could do that. You're going to make me king. No, he would not accept that. He would not accept being forced into a place of being king. Rather, they need a heart change. Right? That's what they need. But in vain they do worship me. Vain. Empty. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth in the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Jesus is being consistent with his coming as the Messiah. Yes, he came as the testator alive. And he's not going to break the law, but he is going to demand from these people an acknowledgement of the weightier matters of the law. And that's what he does. All right, cool. They were to be separate. They were to be the salt of the earth. They were to be this kingdom of priests. And to be separate and different, they were given all of these remarkable laws, not having, you know, the twine of different types. No. Got to be one type. Why? Because you are going to be separate from everyone else. You can't be all mixed up. No. Standards were given. The law functioned to bring the knowledge of sin. But notice, again, people want to say, well, there was the Ten Commandments and that's ours, and then there's other laws that was Israel's. And that's what people do. That's what people do. But if you look at how Paul uses the word law, it's just the law. That involves the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, who was it given to? It was given to Israel. Just read Exodus 20. Look at verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What? Were the Seventh-day Adventists in Egypt? Land of bondage? I don't think so. Right? But look what's inside. The Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Right? Look at this. This comes from Deuteronomy 5. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Okay, you've got to work then. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. It doesn't say, oh, the Sabbath is when you go to church. No. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. Now, by the way, how are you going to get to church anyway? Well, wait a minute. Don't you have to get in the car and turn the key or something? Press a button? You've got to do some work, don't you? It's kind of, you know, this idea that the Sabbath is the go-to-church day is kind of a construction. It doesn't quite work here. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox. Whoa, you've got to make sure the ox doesn't work too. Nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Oh, who's he addressing then? Remember, yes, Israel, that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Therefore. You see that? Look at this, friends. It goes even further. It goes much deeper than that. Look at this. This comes from Exodus 31:16. Says this, wherefore the children of Israel should keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath through their generation for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign. It's a sign. It's a token between me and the Seventh-day Adventists. No, I don't think so. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Yes, he hallowed the day. He separated the day off. But he gave it as a sign uniquely to Israel. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on that was the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's in there. It's the sign with Israel. The sign with Israel is right there in the Ten Commandments. God does not separate off bits of the law. It says the law came by Moses. You see that? The point I'm making here. Okay. Now, all right. We're getting to this now. We're getting to the point. Now, what I did was, I thought, well, let's think of a phrase. And one phrase that comes to mind is this phrase, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see where that's used, right? Well, one place it's used in this context is 1 Timothy 6:14, which is one that's pertaining to our calling. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Now, don't you just think about this now. We understand the teaching of people who are right into right division, because I am, man. If I see a division and it's clearly taught in the Bible, I'm going to preach that division. Why? Because I know this as a statistician. The more true divisions you see, the more information you get. You just do. The more information. We're all about getting information from the Scriptures. We want to rightly divide the Word of Truth to get that which pertains to us. Look what it says. The appearing. Unique. That's unique for us. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah. So even in the context of our unique calling, we find Messiah. Messiah. Okay. Here's what happens when you do a search through the New Testament for this expression. Tu Kyriou Haemon Jesu Christi, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I've done here is, the reds here are the acts, right? And the green is the prison, or at least that which pertains to our calling. Notice, a lot of it is in Ephesians. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is through the acts, but it's also into our calling. Why? How does Messiah, how is it relating to us? Messiah. I thought he's just Messiah to Israel. What about us? Well, wait a minute. There's a change of the law in order that not only the new covenant, but in order that there would be a matter of the heart dealt with, so that anybody in the world can come to the Messiah. Messiah is the one who enables the true depths of God's righteousness be revealed in our lives, and how he wants us to come to him, all of us. That means the Jews, that means the Gentiles, the whole shooting match. Cool, man. These are the passages where this comes up. And there's quite a few of them. But just have a look at some of them, right? But just have a look at this one. Go to this book of Ephesians, all right? Because I'm interested in Ephesians, because Paul speaks to us. Now, it's because of Messiah that there has been a change of the law, because of this. And because there has been a change of the law, there is a legal reason why we can talk about the truth of God's righteousness outside of the definite laws that were given to Moses. Now, the laws that were given to Moses, yes, they contain the righteous standards, but they have a whole lot of other things as well in there about separating Israel off from the rest of creation. But inside there are also things that pertain to the weightier matters of the law, things pertaining to the heart. And that's what God wants to really deal with. So look at this. Have a look at Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3. It says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Right up the front of this epistle, we have Messiah. The full name, Lord Jesus Messiah, the Messiah, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In heavenly places. Who was this Melchizedek? Why, he was the priest of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. There was a change in the law. Yes. And from this, the righteous standards of God relating to the heart could come out. Paul acknowledges this, and you'll find this right through. Now, as you go through this, there's plenty more passages, but at least you can see that I'm not lying to you. Christ is there. Messiah. He's our Christ. He's our Messiah. Do you dig that? He is our Messiah. People want to think, well, Messiah is the Messiah to Israel. No. Melchizedek is before Israel. Right? Melchizedek is before Israel. It's amazing. Okay, coming over here. Look at this. This is just the word Christ. Look at this. Messiah. It's in Ephesians, in Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. It's there, friends. Christ. Messiah. that's a bit of reading to do there. Look at this one. I did this search, which I thought was it's really informative. This is where you look at Christ in conjunction with an imperative. Okay, now look, you've got Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy. And that's the search that I did. But here is the result. And I want to take you just to a few of these, right? So you're in Ephesians. Just have a look at Ephesians chapter number 4. And verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. See, look, this, these are the imperative. Even as God... Now just think about this. See, here's a question for you. The name given to our Lord, is Paul just saying, oh, I'm tired of using Lord. I'm going to use Christ this time. You know how we do in English? We don't all repeat the same name, so for the person, we might change the name a little bit to make it more interesting. Do you think that's what's going on here? Or do you think this, as the inspired word of God, is teaching us something doctrinal? Look what it says. Even as God, for Messiah's sake, hath forgiven you. Another one. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Christ, Messiah, bringing in, you see, this, the consequences of the change in the law. Bringing out now the law to do with the heart. Not the new covenant. Certainly a new covenant came with the change in the heart. But that's in relationship to the nation of Israel. Here we've got some new teaching that is based upon Messiah. And you can go through. I mean, there's a lot more. Let's have a look at verse 14. It says this, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee light. And coming down here to verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ, the Messiah, you see, showing the change, the basis of the change. So I think this is a remarkable thing. Christ Jesus, look at it, all the way through our epistles, if you like, the ones addressed to us, right there, Christ Jesus. Wonderful passages. What is my conclusion about all this? My conclusion to you is this, that we have the basis of living alive that's righteous in the sight of God, not by taking the law of Moses and somehow trying to sift out from the law of Moses that which we can find might pertain to us, which we'd be guessing, but rather by these principles that Paul is giving us here. Paul is doing this work for us, so that as we immerse ourselves in these epistles, so we will get that part of the law of Christ which pertains to us. That's the conclusion that I'm coming to. And what about this whole business of crimes and government? Well, what we want in a government surely is a government that will allow us as individuals to fulfill this. And that means the protection of our rights of freedom, right? The protection of our rights and freedoms. And you'll find a lot of that protection in the founding documents of this nation, right? That's why this nation has been singular in its movement out to the world and bringing the truth of the gospel of salvation to people and the law of Christ to people so that they can live righteous lives and lives that are great in the sight of God. And what are we seeing today? We're seeing a movement against this, which is a movement of Antichrist. Antichrist. I'm not choosing these words out of thin air. It's anti-Messiah. And once you get to be anti-Messiah, you're destroying all of these great doctrines and truths that Paul is bringing us under inspiration of God. Now, I've got more to say about this. Much more. But it is a very important teaching that we're coming to. And when you look at the Sabbath, just come with me now and look at this teaching of the Sabbath. You get the pinnacle of it. In Colossians 2, look what he says. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of it, of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Well, who were given these Sabbath days? Israel! Which, Paul, what are you telling me, Paul? Which are a shadow of things to come. Now look at it. But the body is of Messiah. The body is of Messiah. The substance is of Messiah, Christ. That leads us to the change. That leads us to these beautiful things that have to do with the heart. And what God really wants in lawful obedience. Okay. So when people say that Christ is only Christ of Israel, you're wrong. You got that wrong. You need to look at this more carefully. There's a lot of teaching about this. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for all that Thou hast given us, for the truth of the Bible rightly divided. We thank Thee for the past teachers, Lord, that have helped us along the way. And we ask, Lord, that we would perfect these things in our own lives, and that not only we'd have head knowledge, but we would allow that to come down to the heart, that we would see that there's weightier matters, Lord, in the law, and that these things have been brought out to us by inspired apostles, and specifically Paul the prisoner. We thank Thee, our Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.